Welcome to another episode of the Colombian Catwoman podcast, and we continue with our series of Black Expats in Spain. On today's episode, we have the lovely Karen in the house. Karen resides in Madrid, and thank you for responding to my call to action, Karen. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Karen, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself? I know I've just given you a brief introduction that you live in Madrid, but would you like to expand on that, please?
Sure. So my name is Carrie Bonetheridge. I am from Brooklyn, New York, and I have lived in Spain total for almost 10 years. Wow. I lived in Barcelona first for 3.5 years, and then I moved to Madrid, and I had a little fell here and there in Italy and Copenhagen for a while, trying to decide.
Okay.
And then I came here, and here I teach English but art. So I teach art and English, and I'm trying to figure out what my next move is because Spain isn't doing it for me anymore.
Have you been in Spain for almost 10 years?
Yeah, June 22nd will make 10 years.
Wow, okay. Another veteran in the house. I interviewed another veteran this week, so you've got your badge of honor.
We stuck it in there. And now it's probably time to go.
I ask, why did you move from Barcelona to Madrid?
So I went to Barcelona. I was studying painting. I'm an artist, and I was studying painting. And when that program was over, I was going to go to Sevilla for a second master's, but I was like, I'm tired of school. And Barcelona, you know, on top of it being Spanish, is also very Catalan. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a community that's very tight knit and not really welcoming or opening. Mm-hmm. So I felt very lonely at the time. And for an antidote of that, I would just get a boyfriend. And but in the end, you know, I started a band.
Any boyfriend will do.
Anybody, please. And then I started a band, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe that'll be great. And it was for a little while. And then it just was like, I'm tired of this closed off society and me every week escaping. I was constantly going to London every week because my boyfriend was from there. Or when I switched to boyfriend, I was constantly going to Copenhagen because my boyfriend lived there. This was every week. And I'm like, why am I escaping? I just need to leave. So I got a job offer in Italy. I went there for a while. I didn't really like living there, but I love Italy. And then I moved to Copenhagen with the boyfriend. And I'm like, you're getting on my nerves. And so I got a job offer in Madrid. And I'm like, okay, I wanted to move to Madrid the first time, but I got the painting program in Barcelona. And so I stayed here and I've been here ever since. At first I thought it was like, oh my God, this is where I wanted to be at first. And then as time progressed, I was just like, this is not what I expected. I have other words to say, but we're going to leave it at that.
We can go anywhere you want with the words that you'd like to say. This is real content. So we keep it real here. We keep it the full 100.
Oh, I was on my Donald Trump shit. This is a shithole. Like,
you can say it in the White House, then why the fuck can't you say it here? Gary Vee's making plenty of money, everyone, you know, blinding everywhere. So we keep it real. It's the real talk.
I don't want to be Herschel Marshall, whatever his name is. So no, but I just found that there were things. That's when I realized that I actually appreciated Barcelona more than I appreciated Madrid, because I didn't experience racism in Barcelona. Here it was in your face, aggressive, and I found myself being super angry, and I would start on 10 if someone did something, instead of having a rational head to think about, like, your reaction to something is your reaction, you need to control it. I was just like, you know, nah, F that. You started it, I'm gonna finish it. Like, I'm over it. I'm like, so, really? I just felt like super angry. And I spoke with other expats and they were saying, yeah, I feel really angry. And I'm not an angry person. I'm really jovial and like happy and life of the party. But I walked around with, like, you know, a tight grill and just it just is like, I got to do something. This is not it. But I stayed.
So what made you stay?
The cost of living, the safety, which the cost of living we spoke about is not.
Right, to the podcast, which we can get into in a little while again.
Right. The safety and the work-life balance, even though sometimes I still struggle with that. The good thing about Spain, even though it's getting more expensive, is that it's still relatively cheap. So I can be broke and still survive versus me being from New York, being broke, you're broke and you need to do something quickly or you will starve to death and be homeless. Mm-hmm. Here I can kind of, I can wiggle, I can, you know, I can say, you know what, my mental health is better than this. I'm taking the year off and I'm not working. Mm-hmm. And I have done that several times. Like, I'm not working this year. Who do you think you are? It's like, this, no, I've decided because I mentally am not in this and I need this time for my mental health. And that's more important than anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did that. And so, you know, you take your breaks when you need to. I think it's super important. So I stayed, but, you know, I have my meditation and stuff like that, that I do that helps me a lot.
A few, you've just said so many things that I want to touch on. I went to Barcelona once many, many years ago, and I found kind of closed kind of culture, like we're Catalan and we speak Catalan. We don't want to hear your Castellano. We don't understand your Castellano. Yeah. And I remember having that kind of experience in Barcelona. Loved the city, architecture, all the rest of it. But I remember that kind of hostility. Something else that you said is that, I can't remember what you said. I made a note, but I can't understand my note that I made whilst you were speaking.
And you start writing really fast, and you're like,
can I ask you if you have been able to access the social system? So when I say that benefit system, and you answer that question as you see fit, whether you say no, whether you say I don't want to answer that, whether you say moving on, Jeanette, you choose how you want to answer.
No. I can totally answer. I'm open. You can ask me anything, really.
Okay, thank you.
So as far as like for my mental health or just health in general, like going to the doctor.
So for example, you lived in Spain, you've worked in Spain, you paid into the social system in Spain, and Spain is pretty good when you're not working and are entitled to benefits. So were you able to access the benefit system when you weren't working because you'd paid into the system?
When I had work, I was able to because I have my, it's like universal healthcare, but it's not that, it's like the public health system. So mm-hmm. I have that because the past jobs I've had. But also the companies that I worked for also had private insurance. So I was, mm-hmm. I had access to that. When I wasn't working, it's so cheap here to see whatever specialist I need to. I would just pay out of pocket and it'll be like 40 euro, 50 euro. So it wasn't like breaking the bank where if I needed something, like I was in dire need of seeking medical attention. It's not kicking my ass financially. It's like this, okay, I need a dentist, let's go, here's 50 euro. I need to, you know, have like a blood test, da da da. It's like 40 euro. So it was, I never worried about not having healthcare versus having healthcare. Okay. I knew that I would be taken care of and it wouldn't break me if I didn't have it.
I speak from somebody who has access to the public system here and I have had that protection. And so, had more protection here in Spain than I would have had in my own country. That's the point, the perspective that I'm talking from there.
I know in the United States, like our healthcare is connected to our employment. We do have Medicaid. And when I went back home, the two times that I went back home, because I've only been back home twice, and they were back to back, I was able to get on Medicaid immediately. And I got everything that I needed done so I can put the paperwork in to process my visa work to get here, to get back here. Mm-hmm. So, and the great thing about the Medicare, which people I don't think they actually know, is that they have really great doctors that take Medicaid. I know in New York, and like hoity-toity medical offices with these, you know, these doctors with all of these accolades and like they have awards, and so I was able to get like the best of the best doctors, and have like great service provided on Medicaid. And then once I left, it was like, okay, bye. Thank you, America. Because first of all, I paid to have this and I'm a Native American. Like, you know.
No, there's no justification. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, have you been able to get what you needed when you needed it? You have the support here in Spain when you needed it. But when you went back to the States, you had the best of the best. But when you, for example, needed to see a doctor here or needed, you know, protection from the system in any way, mental health. For example, I've seen mental health specialists here in Spain, and I've had that as part of you know, the free public services that they offer here.
How is that? Because I feel like I definitely know that I need therapy. I did therapy back home, and I know that I need therapy, but I have issues with people who don't understand my culture, my background, and so I will refuse any type of mental health care until I know that someone actually knows who I am and my culture and things like that. So my friend gave me something where they have like medical professionals that are Black online that she uses because she's very busy, and another friend. So I think I'm going to look into that, and they do a sliding scale of how much you make, and you can pay like installments.
Okay.
It's like layaway. And I
want to share those details. Would you like to share those details now or
can you put it in because I don't have it now, or maybe while we're talking I'll look for it to see if she sent me the link.
Any stage if you'd like to. The reason I say that is you asked me if I had the support that I needed from the people that understood me. Hell to the no. So even
that's what I'm scared of, I swear.
It was better than nothing. That's also the fact of life. So part of the issues were each medical profession has a specialism. So I'd be referred to this medical professional, this, and I was referred to psychiatrist. And they'd say, my specialism is this. So I can't help you with that because this is my specialism, but I can help you with this maybe a little bit. So we kind of danced around some of the issues. It was just to have a space to talk to somebody who's not a friend, who I could offload on, because there was so much going on and my head was in such a bad state. I just don't have the support here and didn't have the support. And we were going through Brexit as a British person. We were going through the pandemic and I was going through my mental health was shite before I came here. So you can imagine,
piled on top of it. Magnifying
no support. Yeah. So I was grateful to have it. One, I had to speak in Spanish, and I do speak Spanish, but naturally speaking in a second language when you're talking about something that's so important.
You want to speak in your native language.
It isn't ideal. And two, they don't understand the culture and interpretations of what you say, and then you have to educate the specialist.
And it leaves you from what you're here for. It's like, I don't want to explain this.
You know, interpreting things in which I said, you know, things that I said in a particular way. So I've accessed services. I've seen 3 mental health specialists here. I'm grateful for that, because in the UK, you would have to be rockers on the street attempting to kill a police officer before you get to see like a qualified psychiatrist or psychologist in the UK. You have to be like, so I'm grateful for that. 10, I wanted to add to your 10. During all of that time, my mental health was so frazzled. I was so ready to fight. Everyone, you were talking about like you were at level 10 when everyone was like approaching your dignity or saying things to you. And I found myself being, just as you said, that person that was angry and wanted to fight everyone and was ready to fight everyone and the smallest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not being myself, as you said, that you are normally quite jovial, X, Y, Z. Yeah. Not quite jovial, but I'm not the person that's out there looking to fight everyone. But here it's turned me into guerrera. I work like I'm ready. Come back to you.
Yeah. No, like you said, we spoke about this before. It's so like people really need to be mindful of where people are, and they need to really look outside themselves when they're approaching people, because I just probably had diffuse something that I could have went off on. And it just took that one little thing that you said that may have not been that serious, and I click. And then I wipe your whole life out. It's like, I found that So in Barcelona, I live in an area called Sant Jordi de Galvez, which is hoity-toity, you know, uppity, Upper East Side lady I am. And then
that's okay. So you're entitled to it. You're good for it.
No, I prefer to live in these type of places, and if I can't live in it, I don't want to live in it. I'm just like, no, I need to feel like I'm rich even when I'm broke. Like, I just like to live around pretty things and just like be in my little, you know, bougie bubble. Like, I love it. So I lived there. It was super safe, super comfortable, less ignorance, surprisingly, because I feel like sometimes the richer you are, the more ignorant you can be.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Because you have the privilege to lean on and you don't have to care about anything else. Mm-hmm. But they were amazing. I love coming home. I was right across the street from the park or whatever. So I didn't have these issues. Even when I went down to like the center of Barcelona, like I was already in like a great place, and I never got angry in Barcelona. And I, like I said, I never experienced racism in Barcelona. I moved to Madrid and it started with me working at a school and on the train, and someone would lean, because they're standing up, I'm sitting down, they would lean. And I would say like, you know, perdona. They would look back and suck their teeth and lean more into me, to where I would be like the Incredible Hulk pushing them across the train. Like, not today. I don't know who you thought I was.
Try me.
I'm like, I don't know who you thought I was. I'm like this, I'm not fresh off the boat. And even if I was, I'm not today. Mm-hmm. And so that was happening more and more, and it was happening every day. It was just the microaggressions. It was the, what is it? What's the opposite of that? Overt aggression. Yeah, macro, micro, overt. It was in your face. It was raw. It was disgusting. It was dismissive. It was just like, and you know, like, I'm American, I'm from New York. I've never even been called the N-word outside of me and my friends, you know, having our exchange, mm-hmm. you know, fun. Like, you know, we'll talk like that sometimes, or we'll use it, whatever, you know, some certain times it's, we use it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a part of my culture. But I've never had someone discriminate against me that I knew of. I never had any type of blatant anything growing up in the States. And then I get here and this is when I get to, like, I guess the original colonizers, and they're like this, oh no. I'm like this, now I'm trying to take over your land because you've done so much damage everywhere else. But I just started being super angry all the time. And I just was like, I start at 10. I don't even, it's not even like a gradual, no, I'm already at 10. You tried me. And you tried me because I think my mentality is that you thought you could take advantage. And you thought wrong. And that's what pisses me off, is that the fact that you felt you had the caucasity, or like the freedom to do whatever you wanted to me.
Because and I don't be no repercussions. And,
right.
And
you
fine.
Think it was like, listen, don't poke me. I mean, you know, Tupac said it better. I'm not a killer, but don't push me. Like, it's just like, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. I'm actually leaving you alone. I'm minding my Black business. Leave me alone.
I'm laughing because it's resonating with me and my island life. So yeah, that kind of that being invisible, and people thinking that they can just kind of walk into you, walk past you, move you off the street, you're on the train.
Reach over your food to get something, yeah, instead of, can you pass me that?
Yeah, you don't exist. And you don't. But it's also part of the culture as well, kind of manners and customer service in terms of, you know, work environments. But on a personal level.
There's no customer service here, no bedside manner, no nothing. I just always like, these people are so barbaric, and like, they're like animals. Like, what is wrong? Like, certain things to me is just very basic, and you've seen them do it, so you know it's possible. But I feel like you know how to do it, and you chose with me not to do it.
And sometimes with you, and sometimes it's just across the board. Let me give you an example. I ordered a pizza the other day, and I ordered a mushroom pizza. The pizza I got was a pizza without mushrooms on it. I contacted Uber or whatever it was to say that the pizza had no mushrooms on it. They're like,
right,
we can do
it. You see, this is what I'm talking about. They'll say something like, it's igual. No, it's not.
Pizza had no mushrooms on it. You just have to laugh.
You have to laugh, because then you'll be like a raging bitch. Like, you have to laugh at some of these things just because you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose yourself, goodness. Which is like more important than anything.
You know, so, what I found a remedy to a lot of the situation for me is getting out of the city. So you were talking about that escapism that you needed to get away from the city. Right. Yours was, you know, a plane ride away. For me, whenever I get out of the city, I go into the countryside because I live on an island. So that feeds me in lots of different ways. Literally, as I was saying to you before we went live, I was able to pick mandarins yesterday and pick prickly pears, and I'm still spikes all over me everywhere. That's what happens when you steal people's fruit.
Karma. But it's nurturing your body.
So what made you choose Spain originally? The studying that brought you here, but why did you choose Spain?
No, so the reason why I chose Spain specifically was because it was one of the countries that I didn't visit prior to moving. And I was looking for a European country because I just wanted to live in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I'd been to so many European countries before it. And although they were really cute, like, you know, London and certain parts of Italy and, like, you know, Paris, like all the major cities in these countries. And I felt that I could live there comfortably. I felt it was too familiar. Okay. And I wanted to kind of step outside of my comfort zone and be in something that's a little bit more homogenous, and they're like different culture, different language. I wanted to strengthen my Spanish. And so I just thought, okay, we're on a trip with a bunch of my friends. And we like started out in London, then we went to Paris, and we went to Spain, then we went to Germany, then we went blah, blah, blah. Like, we were bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is the trip where I'm going to decide which country I'm going to go to, because I'm going to go to my favorite cities. And so when I finally get to a country I haven't been to, and then the major city, let's see what happens. And I think 6 hours in, I'm like, I'm moving here next year, and I moved there the next year. But not to Madrid, I moved to Barcelona because I got the program. I needed an excuse for my family for moving, like, for such a long time. Mm-hmm. But then I needed to explain to them, I'm not coming back, so don't look for me. Like, bye. And I love my family, but it's just like, you know, I went to a boarding school. I'm used to being on my own. Like, I have 3 siblings, 2 twins and a brother. The brother is 9 years younger than me, and the sisters are 4 years older than me, and they're twins. So I always been like on my own.
The middle child.
Mm-hmm. When I was like going family vacations, they'd be going off doing their thing. And I would be making friends wherever we are, and I'll have my little gang. And my mom would always say, she always finds a tribe. No matter where we go, she always finds a tribe. I'm like, this, yeah, because, like, what am I going to do? I'm forced to. But, you know, it's more fun when you have, like, people hanging out with you, whatever. So I chose Spain because when I first got here, I don't know if I'm answering your question even, or if I even remember it, is because I liked the way people were with their children, even though I hated children.
You're making me laugh, which is great. Thank you.
And I am a teacher, but I'm really good with children. I'm good with other people's property. Mm-hmm. You never have to worry about me, but really I don't, you know. I like the way the dads were with their kids, the way it was like very family oriented, and just like that sense of like community. And that's me, a tourist, looking from the outside in. I didn't know the intricates of actually living here and what that really was about. And I was
what would you say it's about? Because I still have that perception from the outside, but I haven't been here 10 years deep. So what would you say about that now?
I think that
romanticism that we have about the idea of the Spanish family.
I think it's a beautiful thing because I think it's the same kind of culture in Italy as well, or just like the Southern European countries, mm-hmm. Southern Latin European countries. They have the same kind of family kind of thing. I think it's beautiful to have, but I feel that sometimes it hinders a lot of them from having their own individual lives and being independent and thinking outside of what is comfortable for them. And so it leaves them in a very ignorant place, and this you know, lends to how they treat other people and how they are with other people. And they don't understand, I'm always asked, like, you don't miss your family? Of course I miss my family, but I don't need to be around them. I don't need to go to my mother's house every Sunday. I can call Uber, I can cook myself, I can hire, I don't need to be around my family all the time. I'm really independent. And so leaving home, it was like, you know, like me going to boarding school before. It was like me going to college. Like, not a big deal for me. And I think
your experience created a very independent adult. You're saying that the Spanish situation from the outside makes dependent people.
Yeah, they're really dependent on a lot of, they don't think independently. And I think that leaks over into other things that happens here. And I'm just like, you know, they're coddled, the dynamic between the men and women in the house and what women do and what men do. And just like simple things I see, because women are always doing for the men here.
And for the boys, did the boy children be treated in the exact same way? Prince.
And so it's like, I'm used to just common courtesy of a man holding the door for me, mm-hmm. when I'm coming in and out of a place. No, he's trying to get in and out before I even step foot. I'm like, first of all, I had the right of way, but the fact that you were almost trampling over me, it's like, do you have any respect? And I'm like, you know, my go-to is like this, what about if this was your mother or your sister? I'm like this, oh, you would be doing the same thing. So, or they have to make it, they know that they have behaviors. Because when I go out on dates, which I don't go out on very many dates with Spaniards, because that's just not my thing, they'll say, see, I'm holding the door for you. See, I'm like, inviting
wow,
you. I'm like, okay, I'll alert the media. Like, what do you want? A biscuit? Like, this is what you should be doing. You don't have to make an announcement about, I have eyes. I can acknowledge that. I don't need for you to bring it to my attention. It's happening in real time.
They want a gold star for me.
Here you go. Here's a little treat for you. It's just like, bruh, stop, knock it off.
Do you teach as a teacher, or are you a teaching assistant?
Assistant.
Okay.
I remember I was telling you before we went live is, I take time off and then I go back. So mm-hmm. sometimes I teach as the main teacher mm-hmm. at like private schools. And then when that gets too much, because like no one really wants the proper work of a teacher. If you can have a teacher's assistant where you don't have to do the curriculum and just like do the planning and like meeting the parents and like all the things that come with being an actual teacher, I think people would do like, and then like not so many hours.
I went to the private school here, well, in another private school in a couple, shall we say, and one was a Spanish private school, and the demand basically on the teachers of the parents and the schools, because it's nouveau, like the, you know, these people that are new living in their expectations of what a teacher is, and you have to like see the psychiatrist once a week, talk about the kids, and you have to have so many meetings with the parents, and the parents contact you via email, by the system, and then you have to be
have
with the
too
parents.
Much access to your time,
and even in the mornings, you know, and it was just like once I was like attacked by a parent, and the child fell on me in the classroom and said to the child that they're supposed to apologize to me. The mom said that she's not going to apologize. I said that I'm going to escalate, but like the school didn't back me at all. It was a horrendous experience, amongst other horrendous experiences that I've had in the education system here. So yes, I hear you. I hear you.
No, it can be really bad. The thing about when I worked in the private school, it was owned by a sister and a brother, and it was passed down from their parents. And it was an international school, so you had children there from different, it was super diverse, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different, you know, shades, because that's important. It was, and the parents were amazing. And I didn't have an issue with any of it. The only thing that happened was is that they were supposed to get me my paperwork, my contract, and they were dragging their feet. And so by the time they decided to, okay, we're gonna do it now, it was September. And if I didn't reapply for my visa, I would have been illegal. And you were supposed to get this paperwork done back in March. It's now September. And so they were like, well, don't worry. Like, we'll fix. I'm like, no, I can't take that risk. And you know, you're playing in my face. I need this paperwork. Like, I'm like, you're not about to screw things up for me, because I ain't leaving. They're gonna have to drag me out of here. But it's just like, you had so much time. Don't tell me about you're busy. I've seen you lollygagging, doing nothing. I could have did all the paperwork for you and sent it in myself with my own lawyer. But you, like, so that's the only issue that I had with the school. And I love the school. I love the children. The great thing was they were three-year-olds, which is my favorite kids to teach. And I was going to transition to them to the next level of their mm-hmm. four-year-olds. And, mm-hmm. and their parents were like, my kid is only coming back if Carrie is going to be here. And I'm like this, hey, one for the teacher. Like, I'm like, yeah, because I don't like kids, but like I'm really great with them. And you know, it was a bilingual school, but we were only speaking to them in English, and all the three-year-olds knew English. Every last one of them, and other languages. It was a really great experience. So, but like other experience I had in the school system here, I've never been at the same school the next year.
Is that by choice or just how the system works?
It was never by choice. I always got fired, but or like I think like March or April is when they see I'm reaching my breaking point with being tolerant of just things, and they're like, well, we see you're not into it. I'm like, I'm not, but I'm not quitting. So you're going to have to fire me. And so they do. And then I get a job the same day and I start working somewhere else. So then I'm just like, I can't.
The joys of being in a big city as well, there are a lot more opportunities available.
Right. Like I have the access and like you get something. You know, the great thing about that is that you are a native English speaker and you can get something because they're always looking for teachers or teacher's assistants or whatever. And so, I mean, it's great. I mean, I would like a little bit more stability, security, and consistency.
Because those contracts, like 9-month contracts, is that what you
had? Yeah. So like in the summer, you're struggling unless you work in a camp. And like, you know, I've done that. And it's horrible. It's the worst conditions, the least amount of pay they could possibly pay you. I think per hour, you're getting like €2.15.
No, hold on, no way.
You really break down the math, and you're working from like, if it's an overnight camp, which I really highly suggest you do not, you're working from the morning to the night. You never really get a break. And they just think that you're like a bionic person. I'm just like, I have a very strong personality. So I think this is another reason why I don't stay very long in places, because I don't allow you to take advantage of me and I speak up. And it's, my response is always, I don't know what the fuck you thought, but X, Y, Z, it's not happening. And I'm glad to walk my black ass out of here, because I will not have you speak to me, disrespect me in any kind of way that you feel like you want to, taking advantage of me.
Your expectations are very different because you know you deserve better. And they should and be
also,
doing better.
They're intimidated by that when you actually know the laws and the rules and you know, like, you have the options. They feel like, oh, I can't control this person, so now I'm just going to make up things and cause problems for them. And I'm like this.
I thought it was very much just an like more of that mentality on the islands, because it's that kind of slave owner mentality, you know, colonizer mentality here. People work extra hours and they're not paid for the hours that they work, yeah, and do more, and people are just quiet because jobs are so scarce. I thought it was really an island issue, but are you saying that that's not the case? It's kind of across the board.
It's absolutely here. The job that I'm working at now, I'm working for the same company, and it actually was the best school I've ever worked at the entire time I've been here. I loved everybody except one person, and it was great. And I thought for sure I would come back, but I knew it was like that one person who I didn't get along with, who was a glorified secretary. I knew that would probably be the issue. But everyone requested for me to come back. Even teachers I didn't even work with was like, are you coming? Like, we want you to come. I got so many messages, like voicemail messages, WhatsApp notes and whatever. Like, where are you? Like, what happened? I'm like this, I have no idea. How I knew I didn't do anything wrong was that they called me immediately and was like this. So they're not going to be taking any more offers at your old school, but we're offering you an option for these other schools that's under the same company. And I said, oh, that's really peculiar. I'm like, because the people who were hired, the other offers that were hired, minus one, they were hired months after me. I was there first. So if you were doing rehiring, I should have been the first person you called. And then the person that had the issue with told everybody, yeah, everyone's coming back next year. And he was lying the entire time. And so I got all of these messages from like, we're so sad. This guy is an asshole. I'm like, I know, but I'm just glad that I have another job to support myself, because that I don't give a shit about nothing else except my bag, my money. I just need my money to support myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about anything else. I'll deal with whatever I have to deal with. But I just need my money. Don't mess with my money.
I hear you, sister. I hear you. Yeah, Spain is all about the connections and who's who, and it's not kind of a very fair system. Your face fits or it doesn't fit. UK used to be like that, but laws came into place to protect people. They're not 100%, right, you know, adhered to, but things changed. And I want to touch on dating for you. How has that experience been 10 years in? What do you look for?
I look for a rich and old, almost dead, a heart condition.
Way out there into the universe.
Please, please. I know I want you around for a time, but not a long time. Like, no, I'm joking. Kind of, sort of. No, so dating for me, when I first moved to Barcelona, you know, being a Black woman, we get a lot of attention. Like, we're like a hot commodity. Like, they're drooling or whatever. And it's, you know, partially fetishizing, and then partially it's just like, when you come from a place like the States or the UK or some other place that they deem as really progressive and blah, 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 they're like so intrigued. And I'm like, you should be, because Black women are the most highly educated demographic in the United States.
Say that again. So it is now as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here you go. You're getting the best of the best of the best. Don't come here with this bullshit. Because we already know our worth. We put in the work, not because we wanted to necessarily, because we had to. We didn't
have a choice. You're strong. No choice.
You got top tier. Don't come to me with this nonsense. I'm not having that. So dating in Barcelona.
What does that mean? If you know that you're top tier, and are you able to find what you want? Have you been able to? Has it been an easy experience?
I mean, you know, it's been easy to get a date. It's been hard to keep someone around just because there are things that I'm just not accepting. Mm-hmm. And they're not really putting in the effort either.
And you think that it kind of looked at you as a fetishization? It was just like the morena, the Black woman, but not with seriousness. It wasn't kind of, you know, with the potential to have babies and the family with this woman. It was just skin.
I think it, in some cases, was a combination of that. I think in some cases it was like, oh my God, especially when they keep referring to, oh, you're beautiful Black. I'm like, I'm just beautiful. That's it.
It's just like,
like, don't refer to me as anything else but beautiful woman. That's it. Punto. I don't want to hear anything else. I'm very aware of my brown skin. I love it. And I don't want to be anything else except this. Like, you know, but it's just like, so you know it with that, but then you have some who know how to like really hide it, and you don't, and you end up finding out like, oh, you were fetishizing. This is your thing. Like, this is what you were trying to do. I've had four boyfriends in Barcelona.
It's not bad.
Not bad, I guess. One Brit that I stayed with for the longest, and then like a Danish guy, but he was still in Copenhagen. I met him when I was in Copenhagen for Fashion Week, whatever. They were really patient with me because after dating the other two, I just was like, you know what? I am off everybody. I'm so sick of it. Even dating, like I remember the first actual date I went out on, it was a coffee date. And the guy, the bill was like €5. And he looked at the bill and he goes, so you had, I said, I had nothing but the air I breathe in my lungs. I know, oh, I will invite you. I'm like this, I can't even believe you tried to just itemize what I had on a €5 bill. You asked me out, sir. You didn't take me to dinner. You took me to a tea. Like, I can't believe like we're doing
You're
this.
You're a bit old school. You're a bit old school.
No, I don't believe in, you know, a lot of women are just like, oh no, I don't mind. I absolutely do. I'm not paying for anything. Nothing. I don't care. First, second, third, fourth, or fifth. No, I'm not doing it at all.
As long as you're clear about what it is that you want, then that's cool. That's
right.
That
I'm upfront about it. I mean, you know, my Tinder and my Bumble profile clearly says, native New Yorker, English only, looking for a man with a heart condition who's very wealthy, must love dogs. That is my, and I'm not even joking. And I get a ton of attention. I'm like, see, I'm upfront, I'm honest about things.
But they don't believe you.
No one is confused. And then they meet me and they're like, oh, she was there. Yep, I was. But no, I just think, you know, I need kindness, I need respect. You absolutely have to have money.
Does color, cultural awareness, age, you've talked about age, I don't know whether that's like really a factor for you, whether you really just are looking for old people with money, with money, or, you know, no. Color is irrelevant, you know,
color
education.
Color is irrelevant, although I feel like sometimes I fetishize about certain characteristics in the guy that I like. Like, I love gingers, I'm obsessed. And I love like Asian guys, like Korean or Japanese or Chinese. Like, I just, I don't know, I feel like we connect, not the gingers, but like the Asian population that I have dated or whatever. We kind of just connect and it gives me that kind of comfort. Like, if I have some issue that I'm talking about, you'll know where I'm coming from. Versus having the exact same issue as if I were dating a Black guy and like we're about to both get killed. I don't want that level of like connection. I'm like, listen, one of us has to be able to get out of this.
Are you thinking about that from being in the States or in
just
Spain?
Just in general, like dating around the world. I've dated around the world, different ethnicities, and it's just like these kind of things show up no matter where I am. And I'm just like, I need, you know, I connect with who I connect with. But I also am weary of just like, I don't want, I already have, I'm a woman, I'm Black, you know, I don't want extra shit on me. Like, please, I want to live a soft life. I don't.
What does that mean to you? I don't want to put words in your mouth. What are you saying? Talk the deal. Talk the real business. Come on, New Yorker. Come on.
I want an easy
the business.
Life. I want to.
What does an easy peasy life mean? Not the business.
I want to be a stay at home, not a stay at home wife, not a stay at home mother. I just want to be a stay at home. I want to be taken care of. I don't want. I want you, like, if I were to get married again, you would have to have your separate bedroom or your separate house. Like, I don't want to live with you necessarily. Mm-hmm. I just want, you know, an allowance and able to have like brunches and charity events. Tea parties.
Which, live like a queen, but you were intimating, and I don't want to put the words in your mouth, you were intimating to being like, you want to be the only Black person in the relationship so that we both make it out alive. I don't know whether I misunderstood what you said.
No, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, okay. I do. But okay. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, a white person either. A person of color is fine for me. But like visibly and like phenotypes, and like you need to look like, you know, you're ethnic or something.
But just not Black. So you don't date Black guys?
No, I don't date Black guys. They're so disappointing on so many levels. They don't show up for us.
Okay.
I love my brother. You know, I don't have to do like the, but you know, my dad and blah, blah, blah. That's already, I know I have good guys in my family and I know I have really good guy friends, but I don't want to date them.
Okay, that's cool. You got a grano. You have to get the point, woman. Because I'm about the point. So.
You have to drag it out of me.
But I'm here. I'm here for it. You speak Spanish, and I ask because you've talked about dating. I ask because you've been here a long time. I ask because you talked about improving your Spanish. And I ask that because I want to know about your integration into the culture, whether you wanted to, whether you didn't want to, whether you've been able to or not, because language is a part of that. So that's the wider question.
I don't speak Spanish well as I thought I did. When I first moved here, I felt like my Spanish was better. Mm-hmm. And I think living in Barcelona kind of, because they don't even want to hear you speak Castellano. Mm-hmm, like, no, mm-hmm. Either Catalan or English, but don't bring Spanish here. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like took me back away from learning as much Spanish as I could, even though I enrolled in a school. But as soon as I enrolled in the school, I got a job. So I couldn't do both. I couldn't juggle it. And so I had 3 years of a dormant Spanish. And then I have like a Cuban background. And I'm from New York, so I always had Spanish, and Spanish was obligatory in our schools. It's mm-hmm. not like I never had it. It's just improving on it, and then also coming from a Latin Spanish background versus Castellana is completely different as far as they're concerned. And they understand it. They just sometimes choose to be assholes about it. And, you know, because your nanny and your housekeeper and all these other people in your life, they're all from like the Dominican Republic, Cuba, or wherever they are from. They speak the same Spanish I speak, but you're looking at me, and I'm just like, dude, okay. So now we're going to speak English because, you know, you're being a
digital. You give me the respect that I deserve.
Right. So I think it's very disturbing. Like sometimes I prefix before I go into places. And I'll speak very loudly in English. So it sets the tone before I get there and you try it. And so also a part of my Spanish being as weak as it is, is really a survival thing. Because they always think that I'm Latina. They always think I'm Dominican or Colombian or Cuban or something like that. They always.
What is your heritage?
I'm from America. We have German, Cuban, Ethiopian, Native, Indigenous, all the things. The parents were a bunch of mutts. But I am a New Yorker.
But your parents, your heritage, so my parents came from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And were your parents American, born in America, born and bred?
Yeah, born and raised in America, both my parents, and then their parents were from somewhere else.
Okay.
So Germany, Cuba. Native Indigenous, Ethiopian. These are like things that just came out in the, because the milk was a little muddy. And America, you know, a lot of history is lost, but also a lot of history is painful. So a lot of secrets. So I'm just learning about certain things in my family that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to,
I am the baby girl. So everything was like, don't tell Carrie about it. They call me Baby Carrie. Don't tell Baby Carrie about it. Da, 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 da. And then my sister and I will have like, you know, deep conversations. We're on the phone for 12 hours.
Right.
And I'm like this, what? And I'm just like, this is crazy. I never knew that. And it's, you know, when things start popping up and you go, okay, I guess that's why that was said, because maybe someone saw something. But I had no idea about it.
I hear you.
Wasn't talking about.
When people move, things get lost as well. And I recognize that with my own family, that histories, cultures, lessons, everything's lost along the way.
Right.
What would you tell fellow Black people who are thinking about moving to Spain or Madrid, Barcelona? Do you kind of, you know, choose Spain as a whole, or, you know?
One, do it. Two, I would say, if you're going to wing it, make sure you have a net for safety. And do as much research as you can. Speak to as many people as you can. Get the resources to make your transition as easy as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally winged it the entire time I've been here. And I still am winging it. And almost 10 years later, it's exhausting. And I wish I would have done certain things differently. And then sometimes I'm glad I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But one, definitely do it. And if you don't like it, leave. Be able to pivot and don't be scared of the pivot. Lean into the fear because it will guide you, will not steer you in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should always experience something you've never experienced before.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the only way if you know you will like it or not. I don't like to walk around, I shoulda, coulda, woulda kind of thing. Sometimes I do, as far as it comes to coming here, oh, I shoulda probably did this a little differently. But I think all the things that I've been through, and they've been very hard lessons here, extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spain is a very hard place to survive.
Yeah.
It's not for the faint at heart. You gotta be a warrior.
It brought out the warrior in me, trust me.
I mean, you gotta come out like the woman king in this shit. Like it's so hard and difficult. And those who have had it easy will always say, I didn't have that. Well, good for you.
Respect.
Because for the rest of us, there was some times where there was never one time I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going back to the United States. Never one time.
Okay.
But it was many times, including right now, where I'm like this, you know what, I'm just going to go somewhere else because I'm not leaving Europe because I love it here. I think that I fit very well in Europe. Like the way I like to move, the way I like to travel, and how cheap it is to bounce around, how easy it is to be flown out different places and tell the person, you didn't spend but 50 euro on that damn ticket. Don't think
put it out there to the universe. They're paying for the ticket. If you're flying out to see them, they're paying for the ticket. I like it. Know what you want. And it's important to me. It's important when dating that you are clear about what it is that you want, what it is that you're looking for and not willing to do. It's like, you take it up the ass? No, I don't. You know, it's like have the conversations.
That part, absolutely not. I'm a starfish. I lay there like a corpse. If you're fine with
that. As an example, have the conversation.
I can look really pretty on your arm. I got you on that. I know how to do black tie affairs. Hoity-toity things in Monaco. I know how to do all of that. But
so put it out there, be clear about your intentions, about what you're after, about what you're willing to do. That's important, I think. So you hadn't thought about going back historically to the States. Do you think about leaving Madrid, leaving Spain? Where are you at now? And where do you see yourself in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time?
Well, to answer the latter, I see myself in Europe. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to the first, I don't know if Spain is my country. And I don't think it has ever been. I've always had a problem with it. There are times where I liked it, but never loved it. But even in that, me going back and forth to Copenhagen so much, I would go, like my boyfriend would fly me out every week.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time there and I was like, that's my place and I want to live there. I would love to live there. I think somehow I haven't been there in such a long time, which I think I was going to go for this Christmas holiday. I feel like something has changed in me as well as far as that. And I don't know if it's because time spent away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Lisbon for the first time for Semana Santa. As my very first time. I've been wanting to go for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the opportunity because, you know, I was flown out from a Bumble date.
Be safe, sister. Do your business. Run your thing. Be clear. Be safe. That's it.
I had like my people on the ground. I had the people from the U.S. Embassy that worked, like, listen, look out for me or whatever.
That's it. Be safe. Run your business.
Right. And I was there, and I was there before he got there, and I went on a date before he got there, but I had so much fun, even though when he came, and we did FaceTime for 2 days before I saw him,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, yeah, this ain't gonna work out. You're not a bit of me. I'm sorry. Like, and I said, I'm so sad because, you know, we're gonna be here for the whole weekend. And yeah, you know, that's it.
Life, isn't it? It's life.
It's nothing personal. I just, you know, like the vibe on the phone and the vibe in person is different, even though we were doing FaceTime.
Yeah.
And so I think like me being in that short period of time under like a really weird situation, I still saw
potential in Lisbon.
Yeah, and I just was like, oh, I just really like it here. And I think mm-hmm. I want to move here. And I always get that itch where I'm like, oh, I really like it here, and I'll move somewhere. So I feel like that itch, but then I'm starting to think like, yeah. Do I want to go to another Latin European Southern country? Because, you know, Portugal, Spain, Italy, these places are similar with the bureaucracy. They're really slow and, you know, even though I think that Portugal has the better plan for things than Spain does, as far as visas are concerned.
And it's a smaller country as well.
I don't necessarily like hot climates.
Okay.
So, you know, Portugal can get like, you know, Satan asshole hot, like Spain can. I don't really like tropical weather.
Okay.
I live in it. I like to visit and then leave. Mm-hmm, I love winter. I love my season.
Okay.
I don't like, you know, it being too warm or something. No. So I'm considering it. But if I go to Copenhagen this weekend, I think it'll be probably not this weekend for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I think it will be a determining factor on do I rekindle that love that I had for the place that I wanted so long to live.
Mm-hmm.
I just figure this shit out.
So right now, Spain is where we're at. Potentially Copenhagen or Portugal, Lisbon, mm-hmm. you're saying, yeah. But Portugal are the two places that are a potential kind of pulling next steps for you. Because are you saying that Spain is like, you've tried it, you've done it, and no more?
I feel like, so I always want to own a place in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to own a place in here because there is a part of home for me here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility kind of, I've been here for a very long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when I'm traveling around so much, when I come back to Spain, but when I come back to my apartment, mm-hmm. I feel home. Like this is my home and then the familiarity of things. So if I didn't have to work here with Spaniards and I didn't have to interact with them so much, I am being-
You sound like white English people when they come to Spain, that's exactly what they want. That's the English experience. They don't want to interact with the Spanish. They create villages for themselves. And the Germans as well. They do that. And they live amongst themselves.
Completely. I understand that.
English newspapers, all the rest of it, English food, English bars, yeah. English restaurants. And they've got a community, which we don't have, which is why I created the podcast for.
Right. If I don't have to deal with them in like any capacity that is affecting my money, my mental health, well-being, or whatever, I'd be great. Because the country is great, it's just the people in it that, and I have two Spanish friends that I actually can consider friends, but that took years. And we just clicked, and that's just because they travel. They are so open-minded. It's just, I keep on saying, are you Spanish? They're like this, I know, unfortunately for you. And I'm like, no, but I really appreciate you. But as long as I don't have to, I would stay here. Like, for example, if I was working for the US government, I don't give a shit about these people.
So have you looked into those kind of jobs?
I apply every year.
Okay, that's good.
It's such a hard thing to get into. So it's like 18 months of all the things. You have to have like a super top level, high security clearance. You have mm-hmm. to do like all this 10 years of your background and blah, 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 blah. It's like, and that's like not a problem because like I have nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep applying every year. But the mm-hmm. problem is that you have to take like this test that is extremely difficult. And I doubt if the president of the United States know half the shit that's on here.
Oh, and come on now, your president, not Einstein.
Not that last one. We're talking about Obama.
You've had Bush. No, Obama was the only standout one. Come on.
The only president I acknowledge is Obama. So,
and he's got a long history.
I don't care nothing about those other 44 is the only one. But, you know, it's just, or like super government officials who have to know these type of policies. I'm like, how are, this is crazy. So I'm studying, trying to get better. And like the good thing is that even though it takes a year to reapply for something or to apply for something else, mm-hmm. that gives me time to do more studying so mm-hmm. then I can get in. But if I got that, like the salaries aren't like very huge. However, that salary here
would be great.
Oh my God, it'd be so amazing. I would be able to save and buy my flat or house or whatever here. And
so you would like to own a property and you would really like to stay here and live here. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But only if I have financial security and stability to travel when I want to, when I have to get away from this place. Because mm-hmm. everyone's always like, oh, well, come and visit me here in Galicia. I'm like, it's still Spain. I don't want to be in the country. I don't want to be around. I need to not hear.
You're kidding.
I don't need to hear. I don't. When I went to Portugal for Semana Santa, I wondered if there were any more Spaniards left in Spain because they were all on this plane. And I was like, I went to escape. Here you all are. Like, what the hell? And I really thought they didn't even travel. I'm just like, well, that debunked that whole myth.
I feel that way about British people when I travel. I don't want to be around Brits.
I don't want to be around Americans either.
The average English person, and not British, but the average English person, they're just like such an embarrassment. That's the honest truth. When they're on, like, when we're somewhere, I don't, you know, I pretend that I don't speak English unless I can help somebody like I did yesterday, you know, the bus. Other than that, we're not the same.
No, I feel you. I live in a neighborhood, which is another hoity-toity neighborhood, which I love. But it's near like these universities where they have all these international students and we have a lot of Americans, i.e. mm-hmm. business school. And when I'm walking or I'm on the bus or the train or whatever, and I hear this nasally annoying American accent, like, oh my God, since like yesterday, I was gonna just like go to the store, but like silly me, I forgot my wallet and I didn't know. And I'm like, I don't wanna hear that. I'm like, just shut up. Like, my dad, he like owns a trucking company. And I'm just like,
another little entitled girl. So what one negative thing would you say about Spain and three positives?
One negative.
Exactly, which is why I'm repeating myself four times.
It's a toss-up. It's two that's. So I'm just going to keep it politically
correct. Two positives, one negative.
Okay, I'm going to keep it politically correct. The food, that's the negative. The positive is the safety for me. Mm-hmm. and the access to travel outside of the country for cheap.
Definitely hear you there. I think we're going to close to an end with our chat today, because I think we've talked about lots of things, and I think it's kind of maybe the right time to come to an end, or maybe we do a part two, who knows.
Is there any a better mental space if I'm so jaded?
It's where you're at. This is the perfect space to have a conversation, and I hope that the conversation helps you, and I hope that the conversation helps the people.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when we start these dialogues as well, and that's why it's important to have them. So is there anything that you would like to say to our viewers, our listeners? Is there anything that you'd like to share with people before we finish today, or any questions that you'd like to ask me?
I do. I wanted to know why you moved to Canary. I think I may have asked you, and you may have told me, but I can't remember. I just remember you saying that you were here a while ago and then you like moved back.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the countries that you live in, and what made you ultimately decide to come back to the Canary Islands?
Okay, so I came here for a job. I was living in the UK at the time. I had been traveling and I was in the UK looking for an opportunity. A little bit like your Peter self, somebody better be flying my ass out and paying for my service. And I've always had that about me. When it comes to a job, I'm very much about, I want the security and I want like the support comes with a job. So somebody's helping me on the ground, all the rest of it. So I came out for a job and that is what happened. They put the deposit down on my property. They paid for the agency fees. They paid for my flight. They paid for my pet. Because I was traveling with four cats, one was killed last year. So they paid for that. And that's why I came here, for that specific reason. As I said before, things didn't work out. I talked about it off camera, but just to say on camera, my mental health was in bits at the time. And I said I could do a job I wasn't up to. And I'm not the only person, I'm not the last, I don't have a problem in saying that, because I would do it again. A bit more cautiously, because it's not great when you're not in a good mental health space. That's why I came to Spain. Where else have I lived? So I was on this very island 23 years ago, back in 1999. I was on the island of Tenerife, on the island of Fuerteventura, and with the same company, I went to Jamaica. It was a British holiday company. Again, accommodation paid for, lived with other holiday reps, flights, all the rest of it paid for. We also used to get the pay was rubbish. The pay was like £400 at the time. Because we didn't share the accommodation. We got discounts when we used to go to places, because back in the day you'd like throwbacks if you take people to particular places, and we got commission on the excursion that we used to sell. So, you know, for a certain period of time in your life, it's fine. You can't live on £400 a month as an adult when you've got responsibilities and you don't want to go back there either. So I did that 23 years ago. AMC holidays, they're no longer in existence. And my mum was Jamaican. She passed away 10 years ago this month, so I was able to get a Jamaican passport. But so the company, I said I want to go to Jamaica, they flew me out to Jamaica, and I worked in Jamaica for the same company. I've lived in Mexico, I've lived in Colombia, I've lived in Dubai. I did my year abroad in Spain, in Malaga, and spent some time in New York, your home. Like the Queens, which is very different to Brooklyn. So yeah, and at one point in time I was thinking, like, do I live in New York? And I'm just talking to my ex-sister-in-law the other day, like, because she's like, when you were here, your brother suggested finding the papers for you. You didn't like America.
I don't blame you. It's ghetto. I recommend it one star.
It's like, I will say this.
New York, no, but the rest of...
The black person from the outside, you see so many opportunities and so many community things happening in the States that we don't have here. And in my lifetime, they're not going to come. Where you see like a group of 30 black women going on holiday together, sistering, been together, their family, this, that, the other, like community, blah, blah. I'm not going to have that, because my parents were from the Caribbean. They migrated to the UK. My parents are deceased. All that community's died down. My family is very small. My immediate family is very small. I don't have it. I don't have a partner. All the opportunities for those kind of community events, weddings that we used to go to as kids, you know, the community weddings and the church and everything, the community things that we used to go to, all of those things have gone and shrunk. And so from the outside, there's just like a romanticism for me of seeing like what the Black community is able to do in the States. And I don't feel it's possible in the UK, not in the UK, and in Europe, even less so. So those are some of the countries that I've lived in, but I've traveled to lots of countries that as a child, I never expected that I would have gone to: Nepal, Thailand, Vietnam, Greece, France, Paris, Cuba.
Yeah.
Colombia. I said I haven't lived in Colombia, but I've traveled to countries that as a child from my background, my parents were migrants from Jamaica.
Yeah.
It was never on the cards. It was what the white kids did. The white kids did the year abroad, had the sabbatical. And I always knew that I wanted to follow that kind of route. And so I've done the things that I wanted to do, and I've been to the places that I wanted to go to. And like when I'm in New York, I'm so at home. Like the first time I was there, this is now 10 years ago or over 10 years ago, and I used to go down to the Bronx, and my brother, who's a taxi
on
driver, he said, "You go down to the Bronx, even I don't go down there." Like I'm at home anywhere I go. I'm at home anywhere I go. I'm up on the brand line. I'm up on anywhere and finding out everything that I can and investigating, and it's my nature. And going to the highest mountain top on the back of a motorcycle, or getting on the train, or getting on the bus, or an adventure anywhere. I'm at home anywhere and everywhere.
That's lovely. I'm so glad that us as Black women, I don't really like the term people of color unless it's a subject where that calls for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm specifically Black because I want to be clear of who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because our experiences are very different, and it's mm-hmm. different within our own, right? Mm-hmm. But I love that Black women have these platforms, but then also we have the ability to tell these stories about our travels as solo travelers, because that's very scary for a lot of people. I mean, mm-hmm. I was on the phone with student aid, trying to get my loans erased. And I was talking to this girl, we were on the phone. I'm like, "Listen, I have this loan, that loan, blah, blah, blah. How do I consolidate it, da, 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 whatever. And how do I get loan forgiveness? Cause I used to work at a nonprofit before I left."
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, but in the middle of that, we managed to exchange information on the low to where I was able to give her, she goes, "I just have never seen Black women, or actually spoke to someone who has traveled to all the countries you've traveled to, has experienced all the things, who live abroad. I always wanted to do it. I'm a single mom of 5, and it feels impossible." And I gave her a story of one of these girls, I can't remember her name right now. She has not as many kids, but she has like 3 kids. Mm-hmm. She moved to either Abu Dhabi or Dubai as, you know, like this girl that I was talking to have the same exact like credential as far as education or whatever. And I said, "You know what, that where she is, the company was able to provide her with all of her flight and accommodations."
Exactly.
Insurance. And they put her kids in the best schools that they could have ever been put into, international mm-hmm. schools where mm-hmm. they have actual diversity in the schools mm-hmm. and the highest level of educators and education and access to things.
Mm-hmm.
And they took care of everything. Literally, she didn't have to pay for anything. And then they even give you a flight back home.
Yeah, you get an annual flight.
Right, and I'm like, just, and mm-hmm. they said, and they take care of you. So I'm like, you have options. And I'm like, and here are the people who have done it. So you can see it. It's not, you know, some made up random ass story from someone or someone who doesn't look like you. Because I know for a fact that when someone says to me, "How is it there?" I know they're not talking about the fucking weather or the food.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, "Are we gonna get killed?" I know that. So there needs to be that kind of outlet. And I'm glad that we are here.
Exactly.
And we are surviving. We're also saying this shit is not all cookies, rainbows, and daisies. And shit. It's a lot of things in between, but also the beauty that I actually can do it and I've survived it. And you're not going to escape racism. However, it's not that bad over here.
If it is, options.
You have options. I would have never been able to mush a woman in car four in her head and walk away from that in the United States. I'd have been killed. I told her, call Jesus, because that's the only one who's coming for you. And my embassy is up the block. I could have not done that in my own country. But the fact, like those little small little nuggets, these are the kind of things. And it's just like, you have options. You are a single mother with five kids, but you also are an educated single mother with five kids. And you will have someone who will guide you and take your hand. If you need it, I will be your concierge and like lend help where I can, connect you with the people you need to connect to. I love that we have that community, even though we're in different places as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, you need that? Okay, I have a friend that's there. Let me connect you with that person. We have our community. We have our village.
Just adding to that, if you ever speak to that woman again, I worked in Dubai as a teacher, was flown out again. Had my accommodation paid for. Yeah, I was flown out because the job, that's standard for me. Yeah. Accommodation was paid for. My salary was tax-free. That's where tax-free. I was able to do all the traveling. I was able to get my eyes lasered. I was able to go to Nepal, Vietnam, India, other places. I went to Colombia whilst I was living in Dubai in the Christmas holidays. All of those things I was able to do in a period of 2 years. And so if somebody has got children, that woman, five children, most schools won't sponsor five children.
I know, it's like about two or three or something.
Yeah, yeah. Most schools would be one, two, or three. Some not so great schools, or maybe up and coming schools, be able to get four or five. So it'd be more difficult, or maybe she'd have to like give you a reduction, is how it usually works.
Yeah, like, and you have such a good salary, it probably won't be breaking the bank for you to pay a little extra.
Education's expensive in Dubai, and you live there if you're getting these things for free. Education is expensive. So what happens is people usually get a reduction on the third or the fourth child, like they get 25% or 35%, you know, 50%, 75%. So for that woman, if you're ever in contact with her, definitely pursue it. It's possible if she's got the qualification, but you have to have the qualifications for the job that you're applying for. That's the only thing.
Also, I have a friend who is a doctor. She was able to pay off her student loans within 6 months of working in Abu Dhabi. I have another friend who was in Qatar, who was made so much damn money, she was able to buy two properties, one in LA and one in South Africa.
So for some people, it's a great fit and it's a great opportunity and a great experience.
I was considering going next year to Saudi Arabia for a year or two, just to stack money and then come back to Europe, because Europe is where I want to be, honestly.
Well, you can go there, you'll live in a complex in Saudi Arabia. That's usually the case. They put you up in a complex. You've got a gym, all the facilities that you need. You go to work, they ship you back on a bus. And so you've got the opportunity to make a bag.
I'm fine with that. It gives me the opportunity to get some nips and tucks done and don't have to really see too many people. Then I have friends that actually live there on this compound or whatever. It says it's not that bad, actually. It's like I'm having a lot of fun and they get to travel all over the place.
Yeah, it's a great spot to move. It's, you know, to go to Europe, to go to North, to Africa as a continent, and to go to, you know, the wider world. So, and the flights everywhere, that's what I would say.
Yeah, so. I'm considering it. I just, like, I need to get it financially stable and secure enough to, one, build my own business so then I don't have to worry about other people controlling that for me. Mm-hmm. But it gives me a little cushion to, like, fuck up and fail a little bit and then like regroup, go back, see what went wrong and then like do it over or do something else. Or I also think it also opens up opportunities. I think when you start doing things that are different from outside of your comfort zone, things just start popping up and appearing. Where you like this, oh, all I have to do is move. Like
it's changing the energy, putting that into the universe, changing the energy, having conversations, dialogues and so on is what makes things happen, and contacts. That's how the world has always worked and continues to work. So, Karen, is there anything
else? Oh, we've been on it.
Yes, we've been on it a long time. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just if you want to move. If you need a community, there's plenty of them on Facebook, and just reach out to your host. She has a plethora of info and resources. And so you can reach out to me as well.
How can they do that? Where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, she's.abroad. and you can hit me there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Karen, for your time, your energy, your openness. It's been an absolute blast. I am Jeanette, aka the Colombian Catwoman, and this has been another episode of Black Expats in Spain. If you want to share your story, then please reach out to me, jce101@hotmail.co.uk, or send me a DM. If you'd like to learn Spanish, then I can also help you with that. That's it from me. That's been a long one today. We'll chat off it. Over and out from Jeanette, aka the Colombian Catwoman. And thank you again, Karen. It's been an absolute joy. I'm going to stop.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
Absolute pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.